Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian, and I'm a fellow small church pastor in the trenches with you guys, joined by two of the best dudes in this entire room, Joey and Colby. What's up, guys?
My life is dope, and I do dope
things. There we go.
And I am blessed, and I tried black coffee, and I would not recommend it.
Would not recommend it because no. You're not a CrossFitter,
no.
Right?
Is that that's the issue. See, I'm a CrossFitter, and I'm drinking black coffee right now.
All right,
this isn't a video podcast, but I can attest to you, he is exactly doing what he said he's doing. He's drinking black
while
coffee.
I'm doing lunges.
Lunges. Okay,
I'm not doing lunges. Yeah. Burpees, right? Let's get some burpees going.
Burpees, man. Now we have to.
Those are awful.
We've got to put an explicit rating on this podcast now. You said a cuss word.
My wife's cooking last night gave me burpees.
Oh, okay. Praise Jesus. Thank God she doesn't listen to this podcast, right?
What I do is not considered a burpee.
Oh, man. I hate them. I absolutely hate burpees.
What I do is kind of a kneel down, fall forward, kneel back, get back up on my knees, then push myself up to the upright position.
With lots of grunts.
I think the technical term is a bless your heart.
Yes. It's awful. Burpees are awful.
Yes.
But
and
I love it.
You know what else is awful? Not knowing proper life hacks and ways to get better at sermon preparation. Isn't that awful?
That is awful.
How about that segue, guys? Am I a professional or a professional?
That was a way to get us back in line with what we were going to quit talking about you. Let's get moving.
Now, here's the thing, though. It's very tempting to chase rabbits when we preach, right?
It is.
And so we've got to make sure that we can wrangle ourselves and get back to the task at hand because preaching is pretty important. Like, have you guys ever noticed that seems to be pretty important for ministry?
It is. It's like 5% of what we do, but it's like 95% of the most important thing.
Absolutely. Declaring the gospel and the will of God from the scriptures are very, very important. Don't you think so, Julie?
I agree. Yes. Very important.
We have to make sure we ask everybody if they agree. That way we know if we're in line with preaching from God's word or not, right? Isn't that how it works?
We are all in one accord.
So today in this episode, episode 53, we are talking about sermon life hacks. So when I talk about sermon life hacks, what comes into your brain, guys?
I was hoping that I'd show up here and you guys would tell me how to prepare better, how to work my sermons better, how to get things done more efficiently, and how to just be a better preacher. I don't really. That's the part of the job I don't like is preaching. I love pastoring. I don't like preaching.
Yeah. Well, you're in luck because today is the episode. For you. Joey, tell him everything he needs to know.
Well, I wish I had. I think I wish I'd have known now. Then when I started what I know now, my preaching could have been a whole lot better starting off back then.
Yeah.
Because I come in with the 3 points in a poem.
Wait a minute. You're not supposed to do that? That's what I'm doing currently.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I thought you were supposed to.
That ain't true because you've helped me develop this.
I thought you were supposed to open with a joke.
Open with a joke.
3 points and a poem.
I am the joke at our church. So every sermon opens with a joke there. So I love what you're saying, though. You're saying that you can grow and develop as a preacher.
Let's hope I got better than that first time I preached. Lord have mercy.
Oh, my goodness, man. My first sermon was an absolute train. It was an hour and 45-minute train wreck.
You preached for an hour and 45 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was terrible.
We're going to jump to the last question.
Bro, I was angry. How long is too long? Yeah. An hour and 45 minutes is too long. Yeah, it was rough, man. And I was like, I come from the type of preaching where it was like, you have to point out every sin and everything that's wrong. And so I was just like, I was mean, man. I'm like, and you guys are doing this and this is sinful. And it was no encouragement. It was a bunch of rebuke and it was truth, but not truth with love. And it went way too long. And there was, yeah. So
mine was 20 minutes. I preached everything I knew. So, and I did have a girl come up with me from the youth group because I just went to college coming back. A freshman in college, my pastor gave me opportunity on Sunday night to preach and, 20 minutes, I preached everything I knew. And, she come up afterwards and goes, I love it when you preach and I should have left it right there.
but no, you had to ask.
I had to ask. And she said, I said, why is that? Cause we get out early.
It wasn't cause the spirit moves. It's because we get out early.
We get out early.
I love it.
I can still get home and watch Sunday night football.
That's right. Now listen, we've told kind of our skeletons from our first sermon closet. We haven't heard anything from you over there, Mr. CrossFit.
So I don't remember my first one.
And praise God for that, right?
Actually, I sort of do because it was Mother's Day. My pastor was...
Your first sermon was on Mother's Day?
Yes, yes. My pastor's from Ohio. He was down here in Virginia. He was from Ohio. He hadn't been home to with his mom on Mother's Day in years. And so he says, "Hey, Colby, can you preach on," and this was a couple months prior, "can you preach on," just say May 9th. I don't remember what day it was, but May 9th. And I'm like, yeah, not a problem. That's awesome. I can't wait. I'm excited. And so, I'm working on a sermon, and it was like 3 weeks prior, I realized it's Mother's Day, and I had nothing Mother's Day talk at all. I wasn't pointing out moms. I wasn't preaching about moms. And so I went to him and I said, "Hey, listen, I got this sermon that I think is pretty good, but I ain't talking about moms." And he says, "Colby, I ain't going to be there. That ain't my, you do what you feel God's leading you
that
to
man
do."
Man threw him to the wolves.
And so I did. I preached it, and you know, everybody said, "Hey, it was good. It was great." And you can tell. I mean, you can tell.
Yeah. And this is important, I think, for us to say. Don't build your emotional security around how people respond to your messages.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, Jesus preached a lot of truth, and it ended up getting him crucified, right? And so, like, don't build your emotional security around how people respond to your messages or how you respond to your messages.
And a lot of times, the ones I think, "Man, I nailed that. That was great." Silence, crickets, no feedback. The ones I go, "Man, I bombed this. This was horrible. Nobody's going to come back," is the one that, "Man, that was so great. I really got this out of it or that out of that."
One of the things that I try to help, you know, people, I've got a young guy in the church that has been through seminary and, you know, eventually going to be a pastor. And I've had other people that have filled in. I said, "Listen, what you got to do is you've got to know these people. Every week is a great sermon, best sermon you've ever done, Pastor. These certain people, it's every sermon is your best." And then this group of people over here, last week was a lot better than this week. Or, "Hey, Pastor, we didn't think you could be any worse." And so those are over on this side. And what you got to do is not listen to either side and kind of stick in the middle. And you know you hit a grand slam when that one person that every 6 or 7 months comes up and says, "Pastor, that was speaking to me." Then you know you did something, because these people over here every week is a grand slam, and these people over here every week is a strikeout. But those people that are in the middle, that sometimes they come up, most of the time they don't, when they start talking, you know you did something well.
Yeah, and we all have that. Like, people give various types of feedback, including ourselves. Like Joey was just saying, sometimes we give ourselves good feedback and sometimes negative feedback. That's just the nature of the beast. And one good thing for those of you guys that are out there that preach regularly, there's another Sunday coming right around the bend, isn't there, guys? And I have had Sundays. Yeah, right. Sometimes it's thank God and sometimes it's oh God, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've had those Sundays where I've gotten done and I've been like, I'm done. Like, I'm retiring. I'm terrible. I'm the world's worst preacher. And then, you know what? God gives me 7 more days to come and turn that thing around.
What, do y'all got to preach every week?
Yeah, some of us actually love our congregations, Joey. This guy, how many, what, you're up to what? You preach 15 times a year now at your church? Or something
it's
like that?
A few more than that, but I do have a non-paid associate pastor that preaches for me, and my wife preaches for me, and we have somebody else that is a speaker, so...
I got a lot of people that preach at me, but not a lot that preach for me. I got a couple. I do have some in the church that will fill in whenever I'm gone. But
that's something that I'm working on currently, is building a preaching team. And maybe that's another podcast for another time about what it looks like to build a preaching team. But I think that it's healthy to have other people in your church that you're raising up that can help communicate and can help teach the gospel and things like that.
Yeah, because some people can speak to that topic better than you can because they've lived it.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
And allowing them to speak to something they've lived is more impactful than you speaking it in theory.
Yeah, and also, I'm sorry, Colby.
Sometimes pastors or preachers are territorial of their pulpit, and they're not interested in sharing that pulpit. And I'm like, hey, listen, I've had people fill in for me while I was here. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, I had a guy, actually a couple months ago now, I had a guy preach for me, and I was in the building. But he had a message, and I'm like, you know, go for it, man. Let's do this. And so we did it. And I had some people, why aren't you preaching? And I'm like, because he is. I mean, it's that simple. I'm not territorial about my pulpit. If I can, like you said, that he is equipped. God has given him something to use. Now you got to be very careful on that. You can't just let somebody that says, "Hey, I got a word from the Lord that I'd like to share." you need to kind of get that out a little bit. Don't be territorial about your pulpit.
There's
got to
be a
relationship
beforehand where you know this person and know their heart.
Guy showed up on a Sunday, and the next Sunday you got him preaching. you might want to check into that one.
We probably should figure out something different with that. Yeah,
I heard something recently. I read something recently that said most preachers will travel across the world to preach a sermon, but won't cross the street to hear one.
Whoa!
I was over here doing burpees. I wasn't paying attention to that one.
Lord, yeah, it hit me like that too.
Listen to one.
You got to listen. New rule for Small Church Leadership Podcast. If you've got a statement like that, you need to tell me before we hit record, because that thing hurt, and I almost said bad words on the microphone. My goodness, I'm gonna have to unpack that one a little later. So, guys, there are really some questions that I wanted to really get into today about sermon life hacks. If you preach regularly, you need to come up with some life hacks. You need to come up with some ways that can make the sermon building process, sermon writing process, sermon preparation process easier, because as Colby mentioned, it's like 5% of what we do, but it's a big 5%, but there's also 95 other percent of things we've got to do. So how we can improve in that works a lot. So here's a question for you guys. How has your sermon writing process changed over the years?
I talked about the 3 points in a poem. And I realized that I was over-communicating. I think you helped me with this, talking about preaching for change, and I hope I ain't stealing your thunder.
No, you're good. I have no thunder.
And so we've been to trainings here recently that they were pointing out, when you make announcements, don't make 3 or 4 announcements, because people get lost in that much information. Mm-hmm. They won't remember any of them. You want an announcement that they need the most. And then you go, if you need that announced, you go to people individually other than that one announcement that's got to get out. And I think the same thing with preaching. We try to throw all of this at them, and it's just too much. They get lost in it, so they end up with nothing. But if you can drive 1 point home, 1 point of change, 1 point of action, one thing that they need to know, they need to understand, I think people can get one thing, carry it, and put it into action.
Yeah. I love that. One of the tests that I always do when I'm with other pastors, and I don't say this to them because I don't want them to feel like I'm judging them, even though I am, is I'm like, man, you know, what'd you preach on? What are you preaching on lately? And if they go, if it's not enough for you to remember it, how in the world do you expect your people to not only remember it, but act on it? And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm getting dirty looks right now. Okay. So let me say it this way. This is something that I say to myself. How about that?
I know what I'm preaching on.
That's right. What's he preaching on?
I'm preaching on the 7 churches
of
Revelation.
That's right. I know what he's preaching on too, yeah. So, Colby, how's your sermon writing process changed over the years?
It's changed dramatically, because I used to spend a whole lot of time. Now, when I say a whole lot of time, comparatively for me, it was a whole lot of time compared to what I'm doing now. And it was all mostly spent on one day. On Thursday, I'd write it. And I would spend, like, hours on doing it. And I might had, like, maybe 1 or 2 hours early in the week where I would do something, maybe think of, you know, I'd read the scripture and I'd find 3 points within that scripture that I wanted to highlight. And then I would, like, Thursdays, I would spend 10 hours, 12 hours trying to put together the silver bullet sermon. And now it's, my process now is, like, completely different. There was a time where I would go out and I would find sermons already preached on the topic that I'm preaching, and I would get their scripture and, kind of their headings. And then I would build my sermon based on that. Giving them credit where, you know, this is based on a sermon from so-and-so, and now it's more of, I am working my sermon Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the following Monday I'm writing it. And I'm finding illustrations. I'm doing all the research and everything in the morning, where I block off my calendar. And I've spent most of my time doing all that stuff on one day. Now I've spread it out and it's given me more time. A couple of episodes ago, we talked about time management. This is one of the big things that I pulled from that was being able to block off certain times of the day where I'm able to do those things and get it put together. And now I'm building sermons from scratch with this concept of how, what I'm looking for, how I'm looking at doing it, taking the scripture, picking it apart and doing the research and having a blast doing the research on the scripture. I mean, I told Brian, he's made me into a theology nerd, because I'm digging deeper into the scripture and not just reading the scripture and then, telling a story about that scripture. I'm finding the scripture. I'm talking about what the time was there, the culture at that time and different things that were going on. And so it's helped me just really change how I write my sermons. And the problem I have is I don't know how to do an outline and remember what I was going to say on that outline. So I have to write it out in manuscript. And so I've got like 17 pages of notes while I'm up there on the pulpit, but I don't read to my congregation. I wrote it. So I know what it says and I've reviewed it. So I remember what it says. But I can't just do an outline and remember, it says pizza. I don't know what that means. On Sunday morning, I'm not going to remember what that means. I remember what it meant on Thursday or on Monday prior, but I don't remember what that means now.
And it was so good on Thursday, too. Right, oh, man, what does this mean?
Yeah, I've had those where, man, the illustration means so much to me, and then it just flops when I say it. I'm like, oh, I should have thought that thing through. Yeah, and here's one thing we want you to hear from us at SCL is it's okay for your processes to change. We're all growing and maturing as leaders and as communicators, and it's okay for your process to change, for sure.
And to be different, because the three of us have different processes that we do, and nobody's right, nobody's wrong. Verse by verse isn't better than topical.
Yes, it
unless
is.
You're talking to a verse by verse person. Topical.
Verse by verse preachers are the CrossFitters, right? We have to tell everybody that.
Topical is not better than verse by verse unless you're talking to a topical preacher. But everybody's doing something different. Everybody's got a different process. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. But the thing is you've got to have some sort of process, because otherwise it's Sunday morning, 7 o'clock, and you're sitting at the kitchen table trying to figure out what am I going to say in 3 hours.
Yeah.
I think what I've learned is my preaching is like soup. Soup is good the first day you make it, but as it sits and blends and you come back that second, third day, it gets better when the flavors are bending. If I write it Saturday night and preach it on Sunday, I don't have time for the flavors to God to help with illustrations and stuff like that. And because I've had illustrations when I've given my sermons time, and then go back and go, you know what, this would be a better one.
Yep.
And it develops and it flavors blend together a little bit better.
I've got a thing written on my whiteboard, and I think I got it from, is his name Brian Jones?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the time management stuff that I sent you. Yeah, Brian Jones.
SeniorPastorCentral.com, I think it is. He had a blog that he wrote about sermon prep, and he had proper preparation prevents poor performance. And I wrote that on my whiteboard so that I could make sure every day I see that I am properly preparing for my sermons, because otherwise I'll get up there and it'll be garbage.
Yeah. It's important to make sure that we understand how we prepare. We understand when our best time is. I'm learning this from Joey reluctantly, not because you're not good at teaching it, but because I'm just hard-headed. I've got to give my best time to my best projects. And while it seems like a small part of what ministry life is, that 20, 30, 40, hour and 45 minutes, if it's your first time, Brian, that time on Sunday matters. And so we need to put a lot of energy into preparing and making sure that we have something. And I like to think of it this way. I enjoy eating when Colby cooks the food because he's the pit pastor, right?
Right.
Especially his Boston butt. I mean, my goodness, tremendous. But it takes hours. It takes multiple ingredients that are put in a rub and put together, different kinds of wood that he's smoking and all of that. The average barbecue person doesn't care about that. They just want to eat it and know if it's good. And that's how a good sermon is. We've got commentaries. We've got illustrations. We've got personal experience. We've got places where we failed. We've got all of that put together. We don't go to a restaurant and ask them, what's the ingredient of the day? We ask them what's the special of the day, right? And so as we're preaching a message, We need to know that we're giving them a meal. We're not just giving them ingredients that are put together. And that's something that has taken me a long time to learn. And I feel like the more that I grasp that concept, the better of a communicator I get, the better of a communicator I become. So that's good, guys. So here's another question for you. How do you prepare for a sermon effectively? That's the key word there, effectively.
I watch you guys.
Oh, my gosh. I said effectively.
And then I do the opposite.
Yeah, thank you. All right. That's more better.
More better. It's more better, better, better.
It's more better, yeah. So I use my life experiences because I can't get up there and tell people about their own life experiences because I don't know them. So I use me for a lot of examples. This series that I'm doing on the seven churches in Revelation, I have kind of tarnished my halo a little bit because I've shared some things that I did as a kid.
And that's rough because your parents are in the crowd too. So
right? Yeah.
They're learning some new stuff about you there.
Yeah, actually they did. They did learn something. Well, my dad learned something new.
They're going to ground you.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. So I use my life experiences. I use my time management. I prepare several weeks in advance. You know, before you guys came in today for us to start recording, I was working on my November 28th and my December messages for Christmas. I'm putting pulling videos for it, pulling illustrations, finding illustrations in different places, and putting them in a Word document that's dated for those Sundays. And so I'm constantly looking for sermon illustrations, looking for ways that I can throw things in, and it's not just like this. Yesterday I wrote the sermon for November 21st. So I'm two sermons out. I'm done with, and it's helped me. So if I find something, because we don't know what's going to come up. We may have a funeral. We may have something go down that we have to really get involved with. And so I've really liked being ahead of the game on these because I'm able to calm down a little bit about my sermons and not like stress out on a Thursday.
That's good. You can calm down and calm is smooth.
Yeah.
Right. And when I'm calm, I'm confident in what I have to say. But if I'm not sure, If maybe I've got a dodgy message and I'm not sure about that, like, I can't be as confident. So let me play devil's advocate with you real quick here. What about that pastor that's listening that's like, well, what if the Holy Spirit speaks something to you before you go up on that morning? How do you deal with that if you're so far ahead and prepared?
Okay. Can't the Holy Spirit speak to me 2 weeks earlier?
Oh, my goodness.
He can speak.
And all the Pentecostals turn everything off. Now, before you turn everything off, Pentecostals, two-thirds of us are Pentecostal in this room, so keep listening.
But listen. There is, I mean, you can walk up on the stage. I don't know if you guys have ever had it, like on Sunday morning, you really felt God telling you, you need to change that message. And so when that happens, you better be obedient or it's not going to work out well for you.
And let me just jump on a soapbox for a second. If the Holy Spirit is telling you that every Sunday morning, it's not a you need to listen to the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning. You probably should be listening to the Holy Spirit a little bit before
2 weeks
Sunday
prior.
Morning. Right. If every Sunday God's giving you a random special prophetic message for your congregation, I would question your methods and maybe.
The Lord has done that, and I have found that usually happens more when I haven't been preparing like I should.
Ouch.
Ouch. And this is coming from, without a doubt, the most Pentecostal of us in the room, Joey. And that's not a negative comment, by the way.
That's how it happened to me is I finished a sermon on Thursday, and as I was writing it, I knew God was telling me this isn't the time for this message.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like almost like he was standing right there verbally, vocally saying, don't write this sermon. You need to write something else with even a title, with everything I needed to write the sermon. And I'm like, I'm already done with this one. I'm good. Mm-hmm. And so I put it away on Friday. I tell my wife, I really feel like God's telling me I should have wrote a different sermon. She says, then you better do it. And I didn't do it. Saturday night, she asked me, she says, did you rewrite your sermon?
Did you listen to God and to me?
And I said, no, I've got that one. It's good. I'm good with it. 3 o'clock in the morning, wide awake. My eyes go beep, wide open, right? And honestly, I heard, if you'd listened to me, you'd still be sleeping.
Wait, did you hear that audibly?
Not audibly. It was in my soul. It was in my soul. So I'm out at the kitchen table at 3 o'clock in the morning rewriting my sermon for that Sunday because I was not obedient. So the Holy Spirit will speak to you. It is possible the Holy Spirit will speak to you 2 weeks prior. But if he's speaking to you as you're walking up there, you need to be obedient to that. But you're right. If it's not a, if it's an every Sunday thing where you don't have any notes and you're just walking up there going to rely on the Holy Spirit, you're not being prepared.
We had a professor in college, Dean Beatty. And I think you had Dean Beatty too, yeah. Several years apart, but he talked about the sermon writing process and that he would write his in advance. He would know a topic and he would have little different cards where if he get an illustration that might fit that, he would put it in there. And I forgot, it was either like JFK getting shot or something traumatic that happened nationwide. And his sermon that morning, it was in times like these. And he says the Holy Spirit could speak beforehand. Yeah. He already knows what you're going to get before you get there. And he can speak beforehand and have you prepared for that.
I'll tell you, man, that's something that I've noticed with, we switched a few years ago from just doing topical only to now just doing verse by verse only. And one of my fears was, what if something's happening and like I'm in the middle of, you know, something, a passage that doesn't apply to it. And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you are not going to like what I have to say, but Andy Stanley is not a fan of verse by verse preachers. And I think Andy Stanley should try it, to be honest with you, instead of giving everybody just his opinion of the Bible. Because here's what I found. Every time something's going down, if the verses that I'm dealing with don't have something directly related to that, do you know what I do? I push pause on the sermon series, and I deal with it.
What an idea.
And I get this pushback when I talk about planning your sermon calendar out. Guys are like, but what if the Holy Spirit speaks about? Then just be obedient.
Adjust.
Here's the hierarchy. Preparation is important. Obedience is importanter. Right?
I'll take that.
Okay, and I know that's not good English, but like, be prepared, but be obedient. And hopefully you can, like we talk about conflict and expectation, we want to bring the two of those as close together as we can. What if we bring our preparation and obedience as close together as we can, man? We'll be getting
They can work together.
They can work together. Wow. Praise Jesus. And so work with what you've got. So here's another question then, guys. Where do you find illustrations? Where are some practical ways that people can find illustrations?
My family's life. I get in trouble with that one.
Uh-huh.
I get in trouble with that one. Yeah, you're trying to use them. Don't use that wife, that example
probably
from your wife's life that she don't want shared.
I have found a good rule for me is this. I will ask someone well in advance, and I will say exactly what it is I'm planning on using them for. So especially with my kids, I'm like, hey, I would like to talk about this thing that happened, and here's exactly how I'm going to use it. Are you okay with that? And if they say yeah, then I've got their blessing. If they say no, then I back away from it.
In the second place I find him is the Holy Spirit.
Oh, there we go. All right, now Colby, what about you?
I'm a people watcher, and so I'll go to Walmart. I go to Walmart and get mine. I mean, you can get good sermon material if you just watch people.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I get some from there. I get some from watching you guys. I get some from my own life experiences. I get some from there's a couple websites out there that got free sermon illustrations.
Like which ones?
I want to say sermonillustrations.com is one of them, I think.
One, yeah.
But what I'll do is I'll think of the word that I'm looking for. I'll search it. It'll come up with a bunch. Some of them are great. Some of them are. So I'll look at it and maybe it's dated. Like it's talking about something from World War I and I'll think, okay, is there something current that I can use and kind of match up with that type of sermon illustration. Yeah. So just a bunch of different resources out there and free resources too. There's books too that you can use, all kinds of things out there.
Here's another, like, I'm not being super spiritual, but here's another great place to find resources, the Bible, right? Like if what you're talking about is a biblical principle, probably at least one other person in the whole canon of Scripture has lived out that thing you're talking about. New Testament preachers particularly, we miss out on a lot because we don't go back and say, look at this person from the Old Testament who lived out this principle in this way. And one thing I found that does also is it helps increase biblical understanding. Because we talk about, well, biblical illiteracy is a problem in the church. Well, it's really not a problem in the church as much as it's a problem in the pulpit. Teach people the Bible. Mic drop. Anyway, so using the Bible is a good place to find illustrations. Using your personal life is a good place, or somebody else's personal life with permission. Reading, man, read books.
Yes.
Listen to other sermons. If you listen to other sermons and have a great illustration, give credit where credit is due. But illustrations can come from a multitude of places.
The newspaper?
I
said tape on Sunday. Get your worship tape out. And I go, oh no. Somebody bring me my walker. Get down from the pulpit here.
Yeah, there's definitely, man, so many different places that you can find illustrations from. Here's another question, man, as we kind of get ready to land the plane here. This is a very, very important one here. This one is one that gets really touchy with a lot of preachers. But how long is too long to preach a message?
Well, an hour 45 is way too long.
way too long.
Yeah, and absolutely. And it's hard to answer this one because I was thinking about it and I was like, okay, I'm 25 to 35 and I don't want to say that that's right or wrong because there's somewhere I get to 15 minutes and I'm like, hey, you're done. And you can look at people and you can gauge the crowd and you can tell you're done because they quit listening. Yeah. And that's usually about the 20 to 30 minute point. And so you gotta gauge your audience, know your people and know myself because there's times where I'm 20 minutes in and I've started boring myself.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to say that this is where you should stop or this. So I don't want to say that, yeah, 20 to 30 minutes. Hey, that's how it I do. So that's right. That's perfect. And I'm the one you should follow. Because there's some people, I think you've shared a, Carrie Newhoff quote where it was like 3 minutes of boring is still 3 minutes of boring. 3 hours of engage is 3 hours of engagement. So, really knowing your crowd and knowing what your material is and being prepared because when I get to a point in my messages where I start rambling, that is a key. I'm not as prepared as I think.
There we go. Same thing with me.
Sometimes it's your crowd. What can your crowd handle? And sometimes it's your ability. My ability is 30 minutes and then I start losing people. And so that's my speaking ability. And so recognize where my limitations are. And I've heard this about a sermon. A good sermon is like a short skirt. It needs to be long enough to cover the subject, but short enough to keep things interesting.
I didn't know we were going to say that on the air. So here we are.
It was in his notes.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like it's got to, there is a tension to manage between audience attention and retention. And I've heard it said this way before, that there's a fine line between a good sermon and a hostage negotiation. Right?
Yes.
And for me, unfortunately, I err typically on the side of hostage negotiation, and the people are trying to call in a air support so they can get out of there because they're being held hostage. There's a quote that's attributed to Mark Twain and a couple other people, but it says, if I had more time, I intended to write you a short letter, but I didn't have enough time. And the idea behind that is he didn't have time to prepare, so he didn't have time to choose the proper words in order to make it terse and in order to make it pithy. Do you see what I just did there on purpose? I just said the same thing twice. Mm-hmm. Why did I need to say it twice? And we as preachers are bad for that. We're like, you know,
those two words mean the same thing.
Well, yeah,
they use big words. Yeah. Joey's
sorry.
Like, wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
I'm over here trying to look them up. Can you spell that, please?
Like, it was my word of the day in the thesaurus app. So it's important for us to know, man, ride that line. Now, we've said a couple of things about time, and I'm going to give just a wee bit of pushback. There's a great book on communication called Talk Like Ted. Now, it doesn't mean talk like a person named Ted. It's
Ted Lasso.
TED Talks. Ted Lasso. Talk Like Ted Lasso. That's right. Be curious, not judgmental. And so this Talk Like Ted is about the TED Talks, right? Technology, Education, and Design. That's what TED stands for. And no matter who you are, if you're invited to do a TED Talk, you have 18 minutes. And the reason you have 18 minutes is that neurologists have studied that 18 minutes of listening to a presentation is about all that the brain can absorb before it starts fully checking out. Now, we know our brains check out way before 18 minutes. My brain checked out telling that statistic. But it's talking about when you sit down to consume content in a bulk thing. Like, we go to lunch, right? And lunch is a bulk moment. We go to dinner, it's a bulk moment. A sermon is a bulk moment. A podcast is a bulk moment. We've lost a couple of people because we've gone a little bit longer in this one. And so the research is showing that after 18 minutes, people are like, if you haven't told me what you want to tell me by now, I'm done with it. Now, I struggle with that because most sermons have to be more than 18 minutes because there's that tension between church people sometimes that feel like they haven't got their money's worth. So I'll tell you what I did. I tweeted the author of Talk Like Ted, Carmine Gallo. I said, hey, bro, I'm a pastor. What about this? And he responded and he said, here's a great thing to consider. Possibly between the 15 to 18 minute mark, show a video clip or bring somebody else up on stage that can just disrupt the attention enough to reset the clock. So if you've got a message that needs longer time, and how can you do that? How can you use other stuff? You've got to be prepared. You can't do a Sunday morning special or a Saturday night special when there's possibly a video clip or possibly something that could have come in and shut that time off. Now, what we do as preachers is we like to save it all for the end, for the grand shebang. What if that grand shebang came in the middle? Well, then that means you got to be better after that, right? Like if you're going to follow the Rolling Stones, you better be pretty doggone good, right? So if you've got something that's going to cut that attention span and restart it, make sure you're following out really well. But, man, I've just found that there comes a point where you just need to shut it down. Like, just stop talking. Don't keep going. I'm waiting for one of you guys to just shut me down right now and be like, bro, you've already given me your point. You've told me everything you need to
say. I shut down a little bit ago. I'm going to be honest.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good stuff. It really is. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, that guy is brilliant. And you're going to go, if I walk up on the platform and I've got like 23 pages of notes, I'm panicking because I'm thinking, man, this is going to go 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I got to, you know, I'm sitting there looking at this saying, and so I'll tell my wife sometimes, I'm like, man, I got a great sermon this week. It's 17 pages. And she's like, that sounds long. And I'm like, well, it's not as long because I don't read it, but I got a lot of notes. But that's great that you throw something in the middle. Take an offering. I mean, you can do something that,
I mean,
that
you can do all kinds of stuff, man. Like have somebody come in to disrupt the service, quote, that nobody knows about it but you and the staff. And something that causes this, what's going on? I was at a conference. I was at an Exponential Conference in Orlando one year, and there's a magician who's talking about the wow factor. And he was like, we're in Orlando, Florida, by the way. And he's talking about how much he loves snow. And he's just setting us up with this story about how much he loves snow. And I'm like, man, I like snow too. And he's like, but I live in Nashville, and it doesn't snow there all the time. And what we don't realize is he's got fake snow now. And in this whole building, it's now fake snowing in the building. And he's like, but all of a sudden I look up and there's snow. And then we like look up and snow's coming down on us. Fake snow in Orlando in like March.
That's impressive.
That's talk about a powerful moment. Talk about like a, ooh, man. And I'm getting goosebumps talking about it because I remember that feeling. And somebody told me as a communicator, people will forget what you say, but they won't forget how you made them feel.
Yep.
And we've just got to tap into these kind of things, man. Maybe you're sitting there and you're listening and you're going, man, I can preach for an hour and keep everybody's attention. Really ask them. Really ask them. When did you lose my attention? One of the things for me, I was training for a half marathon and I listened to my own sermon so I can evaluate and critique them. And about 23 minutes into one of the messages, I zoned out. And this is me preaching. And I'm like, I should have shut up talking. I should have brought somebody. I should have had a video clip here because I don't want to listen to any more of this. So, it's a sensitive topic. I think that it's a valuable topic, though, because here's what we're saying. We're delivering the words of God, and we're not going to take into consideration how people receive that. It's important. It's worth considering.
It is. It's not about us on the platform. It's about getting God's word out there. And last thing I want to do is hear a bunch of snoring. Right. While I'm delivering God's word. Right. I want it to have impact. And I think every pastor listening wants it to have impact. And so we do have to evaluate what we're doing and ask those hard questions. Hey, when I'm preaching up there on Sunday, how long do you actually stay engaged? Oh, pastor, it's forever. I'm always listening. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ask somebody else.
Yeah.
And find out what the truth is. Or just start looking at people.
Yeah.
Instead of looking past them, because we have that tendency to be looking past them, looking like we're looking at them, but we're actually looking beyond them. Actually look in their eyes and on a Sunday morning, and you will see when they shut down. And that's when you can gauge it. If you watch that for a couple of weeks, you'll know at that point it's the same time every week. You know, okay, I've got to cut it back. Or hey, they're still engaged at the end. I can add a five,
right?
Whatever it is.
Yeah, we do this when we do evangelism or when we do missions work. We would never send somebody to Kenya without teaching them how to speak the language.
Yeah,
and the language of attention is a language. And if people can't pay attention for 30 minutes, and we're regularly delivering 50 minute messages. I just feel like we could probably package how we deliver our messages a little bit better. And with that being said, thank you for listening to this marathon message podcast series on Sermon Life Hacks. We hope you've gotten some stuff out of this. Guys, do you have anything you want to share with the crowd before we leave?
Nope.
Kobe said, Brian, you've already shared all of it.
I'm done.
Yeah. All right. Joey said land the plane, but this is the part where I'm asking you guys if you want to tell them where they can find us on social media or what they can do. That's what I'm doing here.
Oh, see, that's not what he said, but that's we should have caught that. Yeah. So you can go to facebook.com and type in the search bar and put in Small Church Leadership and you can find us on social media. Share our page, share it with people, comment on things. We put some stuff out there and nobody's commenting, so comment on it. Make us feel good.
Wow. Wow.
Apparently I'm contagious because he got...
I shut down about 10 minutes ago. So I'm messing with you.
He gone. No, wait, but look, this is a good illustration of us talking.
Yeah.
We care about this podcast more than anybody else. We've worked for this. We've put energy into it, and we're done with it. Like, right? Like, but we just think that we get up on Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, we're like, people are going to be eating out of the palm of our hands. Yeah. Like, come on, man. That's an overzealous, prideful...
Hour and 45 minutes, man.
Dude, it was terrible. It was terrible. I felt good.
Yeah.
But it ain't about me feeling good. It's about making sure that everybody else gets what they need, too.
That's right.
And the other thing you can do for us is wherever you're getting this podcast, go and give us a 5-star rating. We would highly appreciate that and help us get the word out. Tell somebody else about it also.
You know what? Don't just give us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. Tell us about it. The more reviews we get out there, the more information people will see from this podcast. And when you're a small podcast like we are, we rely on your reviews and your ratings. We got to have them so that other people can get this.
And most importantly, we want to hear what your reviews are. Like, we're telling people about being honest with their sermons. If you think that we go too long or our content is stupid, then we love you, but we want to hear about it, okay? So, guys, we love you and appreciate you. The next time we get together, we're going to talk about our personal leadership growth plan. Sounds exciting, right, guys? So you want to make sure that you're here for episode 54 next week with the Small Church Leadership Podcast. So this has been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully, hopefully, all those other adjectives helping the small church fulfill the big mission. I'm Brian.
I'm Joey.
I'm Colby.
And we'll see you next time, guys. Bye.